And from our New York studios, up in Harlem, it's time to go inside her story with Jackie Reed. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. Now, with the release of the movie Selma, there is much focus on the life and times of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one woman who knew Dr. King very well. She worked alongside him during the Civil Rights Movement and says she was his friend, trusted confidant, and lover. She detailed that relationship in a book back in 1995. Now she's writing another book, Tom, about the last days of Dr. King's life. In fact, she was there at the Lorraine Motel the day Dr. King was assassinated. I'm going inside her story with Georgia Davis Powers, who, aside from her connection to Dr. King, has an incredible story. In fact, she was the first African-American and first woman to serve in the Kentucky legislature as a senator, and she served there for 21 years. Good morning, Ms. Powers.
Good morning.
Now, listen, the latest book, you detailed the last day of Dr. King's life. You say there were five of you meeting inside of your hotel room at the Lorraine Motel. There was you, Dr. King, Dr. King's brother, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, and a civil rights worker, Lucretia Ward. What were you all doing in that room that day?
Well, first of all, that morning, he had a staff meeting, and he had sent Chauncey Eskridge and Andrew Young to the courthouse to try to get the injunction lifted or modified that had been placed against the marchers. And the five of us were in my room at the Lorraine waiting for the results. And we spent 5 hours together waiting for them to return. And they finally returned. Andrew Young knocked on the door about 4:30. And he told that he was kidding Dr. King and said, the judge said he's going to lock you up forever if you march again. And so it was like teasing. So
right, King, right.
So King says, well, we're going to march again tomorrow. And so he threw a pillow at Andrew Young, and Andrew threw it back. They were not on the floor wrestling or anything. It was just one pillow. And, but we spent those 5 hours just with discussion and talking about what was going on in the civil rights movement and what our plans were and that sort of thing for the 5 hours. And there was a lot of kids and talking going on.
And you're going to detail all of that in the book that you have coming out this year. But
yes.
You were in the room later that day. You were in the room when Dr. King was shot. What were you doing when you heard those gunshots?
Well, Andrew Young had already reported to us what the judge said. So when he left, we disbanded, and we talked about going to Reverend Billy Kyle's, the host, for dinner. And Dr. King had asked me if I wanted to go to the soul dinner, and I said yes. And Albert Anthony said he was going, but Lucretia Ward and A.D., that they were not going because they had been driving, they were tired. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Dr. King said, Senator, when I get ready, I'll knock on your door and you can ride with us to Billy Cowell's house. And I said, fine. So they left my room and I started getting dressed, and the courtyard was filled. Jesse Jackson, Ben Branch, and a lot of the others were in the courtyard talking. And when I was dressed and ready to go, I thought, well, I'll just go out here and talk to Jesse. But in the meantime, I could hear Dr. King standing up on the balcony talking down to all the people in the courtyard. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, well, when is he going to be ready to go? But anyway, as I started to go to the door to go out to talk to Jesse, I heard this loud shot for a while. And then I heard a woman scream, oh, my God, they shot Dr. King. And when I opened the door, I looked to the right, and there were uniformed men coming into the courtyard. The other people in the courtyard had scattered. And when I looked to the left, and I looked up on the balcony, I could see Dr. King's knee and his foot. So I went up the steps it was built like Holiday Inn, up the steps, and I crossed the balcony, and standing there looking down at Dr. King, and I immediately thought that he was dead, because that bullet had severed his tie 1 inch from the knot, and his face was not messed up, as a lot of people are saying. If it severed his tie, the bullet went in his neck. Now, where it went after that, I don't know. But I know that it did not go in his face.
And now, that had to be a devastating moment for you, because as you detail in your book, you all, you all were longtime friends. You had a relationship as well.
Well, but we were just friends. We were just friends. Let's put it like that.
Well, let's talk about that, because you say
together.
Right. You. A lot of people have called it an affair, but you say it was not an affair. How do you categorize it? What do you say about that? Why don't you call it an affair?
Because it was not an affair. It was just friendship. That's what it was. It was close friendship, like it happens in many people who have the same goals and work together, and they're at times that they become closer friends. So that's what it was about.
So, ma'am, is it inaccurate to call you his lover?
It's very inaccurate, yes, because I was not his lover. So I don't know where that started from. But anyway,
in setting the record straight, and people have alluded to this, you're saying that there was never that kind of sexual relationship with Dr. King. But so how did that start in putting you in that place, simply because you were at the motel at that particular time and you were part of the movement?
Ma'am, I am not discussing my personal life that way
publicly,
so, you know, it would do well for you not to waste your time asking me questions like that.
Well, let's ask this, Ms. Powers. You know, the New York Times reviewed your book and said your contributions to the civil rights movement and the state of Kentucky were overshadowed by your connection with Dr. King, which was a small part of your story. You were the first woman and the first African-American to serve in the Kentucky Senate.
Well,
and I would imagine.
I only became friends with him because his brother, A.D. King, pastored the largest black church in Kentucky. And we were working together and became friends. And that's how I became friends with his brother.
Right. Well, I did want to talk about your work in Kentucky, because the former governor there called you a hero of the civil rights movement in Kentucky. Do you remember the first bill that you introduced?
Of course. The first bill I introduced was an open housing bill. We had restrictions in Kentucky prohibiting African Americans from live anywhere they could afford to live. So my first bill was open housing, and I was told, well, you'd never pass that. And I said, well, I'm certainly going to try to. And the most important bill to those 37 white men was time. Half the Senate wanted central time, the other half wanted eastern daylight time. When they asked me how I felt about time, I would tell them, I don't care what time it is. I'm only concerned about open housing.
So did you deal with a lot of harassment, racial or sexual harassment, being the first woman and the first African-American?
No, I was able to handle myself because I was raised with 8 brothers and a father in the home. So I let them know that I was not intimidated by men. So I had no problem there.
Have you seen the movie Selma yet?
No, I have not, but I plan to see it.
Okay. Well, Ms. Georgia Davis Powers, we thank you for your time this morning, and good luck with your book. We look forward to it coming out.
It'll be out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.